Proclamation. 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 Cynicism rots the vine. In a time where violence locks the summer shine. Lifetimes go by in a flash. In a search for love, in a search cash. Everybody wanna be some fat tycoon. Everybody wanna be on a tropic honeymoon. Nobody wanna sing a little bit out of tune. Or be the backbone of a rebel platoon. It's too soon to step out of line. You might get laughed at, you might get fine. But do you fear me when I say I feel pain every day when I see the way my friends gotta flee and never get ahead of bills they gotta pay. No way, no way. Some make a living doing killing, Colombian penicillin. Some are willing to play the villain, they just chilling. To pass the time, pass the information, or pass the wine. Pass the buck, or pass the baton. But you can't pass the police or the Pentagon. The IRS or the upper echelon. I think it's time to make a move on the contradiction. Bomb, bomb. Rock the nation. Stick with the television and radio station. Bomb, bomb. The truth shall come. Give the corporations of complication. Bomb, bomb. Rock the nation, stick it with television and radio station. Bomb, bomb. The truth shall come. Give the corporations of complications. Say, this is the dawning of our time. I say it one more time to emphasize the meaning of my rhyme. To rise above all the dirt and grime. At the right spice, at the right time. Fuck the Constitution. Are we part of the solution? Or are we part of the pollution? Sitting by and wondering why things ain't the way we like to find them to be. To be for you and for me. The people over there and the ones in between. Check our habitation. Are we a peace-loving nation? Peace-loving nation. I have a reasonable doubt. I think I just spell it out. There's no need to scream or to shout. The NRA just bought a man's soul. Then he jumps up and shouts, gun control. The government say that killing's a sin unless you kill a murderer with a lethal syringe. So I ask again, are we peace lovers then? Peace lovers then. Some of them slang guns when they 6 years old. Some of them end up in some six but hold it so damn placed into lost control. So I raise my voice before I lose my soul. Bomb, bomb. Rock the nation. Stick over television and radio station. Bomb, bomb. The truth shall come. Give the corporations of complication. Bomb, bomb. Rock the nation, take over television and radio station. Bomb, bomb. The truth shall come. Give the corporations a provocation. Radio, rock the mic.
This is the way I'll express my feelings. Bobby Ville, Demi Ball, spinning on a record. Y'all try to compensate, take what I communicate with. It's ancient, gift of the lips, steady creating, activating, passing vocal violations to the blind plus the seeing. Human doesn't mean just being, becoming. Don't believe it, just be life it. Belonging, then beloved, rehearsal or recited while shining. Drop your guns, move your tongue, battle motivation. No times lyrics come, sometimes fun, others run. Their mouth are away, my mind's cold beaming like an early sun ray. One day we'll get the picture and all combine. Let's be talking about mind's mind and become one mind. Every piece of the puzzle has its place to build the beat of the puzzle called the human race. Taking it long enough to cross the formal journalistics. Infecting critics from backwards to rap words. I'm sure raising my hand with questions and demands. Statements in a plan with the map of the land.
Bomb, bomb. Rock the nation. Take over television and radio station. Bomb, bomb. The truth shall come. Give the corporations of complication. Bomb, bomb. Rock the nation. Take over television and radio station. Bomb, bomb. The truth shall come. Give the corporations of
complication. Good afternoon, buenas tardes, buon après-midi. This is San Francisco Village Voice, La Voz de San Pancho, like every Friday at 4 p.m. San Francisco Village Voice, where every cat got a voice. We got a good show for you today. I got a couple of guests here. Besides my technician and mentor extraordinaire, Mr. David Grace. David Grace. So there, so there. And Tom, who is here in training, and I told Tom that he should be jumping in anytime, because that's what San Francisco Village Voice is about, where everybody got a voice. We are dedicating again the show today to the families of Asa Sullivan and Oliver Lefidi, a.k.a. Big O, who were shamefully killed by SFPD in June 06. The killing spree, the plantation is alive and well in San Francisco. And as a matter of fact, today the family of Big O, who was shot, unarmed, on Cap Street in the Mission. His family is going to be flowering today on Cap Street between 15th and 16th Street, trying to find more witness to what happened that day on June 24th. And that will be headed by his wife, Wendy, and his brother, Big Mike. And today here in the studio, we have James Keys from the Chris Daly campaign. We just run into each other at the corner. And he was quite a gentleman that let me drag him up here for the sake of Chris Daly's campaign. And we also have a supervising candidate. I have to do my surprise effect here because I'm just so thrilled. I'm tickled to death by that. And actually, this world-acclaimed lesbian writer.
Oh, slightly world-renowned.
Well.
Let's be accurate.
but world-renowned among us, slightly over 29 years old lesbians, has run for Congress as a Green candidate in 2003 and actually just went to see her play, Bomb for Peace, which is the second one I saw after Two Falls. And here is the bomb. Here's the bomb. Bomb for
That's
Peace
right.
is running for supervisor.
Yes, in District 8.
In District 8.
Which is Noe Valley and the Castro and
wow.
Lynn Park. And Bevan Dufty's the incumbent. So
that is very, very exciting news.
Thank you.
What decided you to run for supervisor, Terry?
Well, part of it is I've been doing this play every week, and in the play I talk about, I'm actually doing the play, one of my main goals is to encourage people to run for office. One of my theories is that we've allowed our democracy to, we've passively, the progressives have allowed our democracy to be taken over because we simply have been satisfied with protesting rather than going for electoral power. And whereas the far right is not shy at all about going for electoral power. And that's one of the major dynamics in our society that we need to change, is the progressives. We need to run for office and organize ourselves so that we get this power rather than stand around with picket signs saying, no, 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 it's terrible what you're doing. I mean, not that protest isn't important, but anyhow. So I've been saying this every three times a week when I perform my play Bomb for Peace. And also, I enact, part of what I do in the plays, I enact my arrest when I sat in at the Department of Elections because they wouldn't put me on the ballot because they refused to count all my write-in votes. It's a little complicated, but if you see the play,
was that
the
very first for you, Terry?
To be arrested.
Being arrested?
Yeah, it was a big deal for me to be arrested, yes. I'd never been arrested. But anyhow, the deputy sheriff who arrested me totally believed
was
in my cause.
To you.
Completely. And he said to me then, he said, I'm going to be working for you someday. And,
wow.
In fact, he works at City Hall, and every single time I see him, he says to me, I'm going to be working for you someday. And I
was... That might be coming very soon, then,
well,
as I understand.
I just felt that I'm not happy with Bevan Dufty as a supervisor. I also really want to talk about Bayview Hunters Point. That's one of the main reasons I'm running, is to bring this issue up, because it's so disturbing to me that this is considered an issue only of concern for the people who live in Bayview Hunters Point, what's happening with redevelopment, whatever it is.
And the toxicity.
And yeah, and
eventually
all the environmental.
The wind blows.
Exactly, exactly. So those are the reasons that I'm running. And I just signed up on Friday and I got
amazing.
The
congratulations.
Thank you. But it's scary.
You know I'm game.
Good, I'm counting on you.
I will. And I'm actually fundraising for Marie Harrison District 10, who is a Democrat. And that's a stretch, but I feel like she has so much integrity and so much history and richness in terms of her knowledge of the issues at stake in Bayview. There is no other choice.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I mean, the Green Party endorses really good Democrats. The Green Party is endorsing Chris Daly. Yeah. And he's a Democrat. Yeah, we just did that on Wednesday.
You know that Barbara Becknell actually switched to Green.
Right.
And she's running also for governor.
Right.
Which means that, obviously, the idea is not necessarily to win, but to make that statement and grow the momentum. I remember when she was a Democrat, and a lot of us had Democratic ideals back in the days. Do you remember when our hopes were so high in Nancy Pelosi?
No, I never had high hopes in Nancy Pelosi. She was
naive.
She was always, I mean, certainly I had high hopes for a lot of people, like Barbara Boxer,
yes,
who is now campaigning for Lieberman in Connecticut, trying to hold him up. But Nancy Pelosi was always a political hack. She never stood for anything except the care and feeding of the Democratic Party.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But there were other Democrats.
Well, let's rack our brains for a minute. Who are the good Democrats out there?
Yes, who are the good Democrats out there?
Well, Chris Daley is definitely one. Marie Harrison is one. Green Party's also endorsed Eric Maher,
yes,
who's a Democrat, when he ran for Board of Education.
Board of Ed.
So there are people of great principle in the Democratic Party, but unfortunately they aren't the dominant people, and that isn't the direction the Democratic Party is going in, very unfortunately.
Most Democrats are pro-death penalty.
I know that's the position of the party, but is that really the position of most Democrats?
All the ones who are running for Congress right now, except for Todd Christian. Todd Christian, I believe. Who is a member of the International Socialist Organization and who is green. No, he's a Democrat.
No.
He's green?
He's the green candidate.
He is green.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
The only person running for Congress who is not pro-death.
You mean for Senate?
For Senate.
Yeah, right.
Wesley is pro-death penalty. Carol Meighan is pro-death penalty.
Is she really? Oh,
that's right.
God.
That's right. You know that 12 Bayview residents under the federal death penalty law might become death eligible. I love the terminology. You know, how black, how poor do you need to be to deserve that prize, to be eligible for that prize? We're only 0.0001% of California, but under this law, Bayview will become 5.65% of death row for the whole state of California. And yet they don't see anything wrong with that.
Wow.
What is your position on the death penalty, Ms. Bond?
No, I mean, I'm very much against it. it doesn't make sense to kill, to show that killing is wrong. It's this is terrible. I can't remember his name. But he won the Nobel Prize for Literature, the French writer. He was a revolutionary, Algeria. You know, he stood up.
Camus?
Camus wrote
Albert Camus wrote the
best essay on the death penalty and analyzed philosophically and practically from every viewpoint why it doesn't make sense,
right.
It's wrong, and it doesn't work.
Right.
And, you know, we're barbarians. There's just, for still
and
having
we know
it.
That.
Yeah.
Even in this gorgeous city here, we're supposed to be the most liberal city of the world. We're almost the laughingstock of the world right now with the police videos, with the horrible gentrification problem. So, James, tell me, what decided you, this is James Keyes, who is running for Chris Daley in his campaign, what decided you to join Chris' campaign? And this is District 6, correct?
District 6 here in San Francisco, California. Well, I wanted to give back to the city and county of San Francisco. While I had been HIV positive for, I think it was about 10 years, in about 1999, I went full-blown.
Wow.
And so I have full-blown AIDS. With that, there were some very good people here in San Francisco and some great services out there to, you know, help people who are in my situation. And I believe this was just about the time that Chris was coming onto the scene. So, coupled with, you know, a great doctor, fantastic community-based organization.
Are you plugged into Shanti at all, or...?
Again, as I said before, I had a great doctor. I was plugged into a really great community-based organization. There was, you know, a lot of support coming from, you know, the district supervisor.
Right, right.
You know, I was able to, you know, battle through a lot of stuff
Dong
and get back on my feet.
I'm one of the former program directors of Shanti. Just checking.
So with that, you know, after I finally, you know, got my health in order and, you know, started, you know, I tried to do a lot of different things, like start my own business, and that didn't work. I started this little website, San Francisco My Way, and I was doing a political story for one of the pages. Came into City Hall, listened to, you know, one of the Board of Supervisors meetings and decided, you know, it might be a good thing to do is to, you know, give back to the city.
Why did you decide to get on Amiano's side, our gay supervisor?
Well, Amiano is not the supervisor of my district. Mm. My supervisor just happened to be Chris Daly.
Okay.
And since I live in the Tenderloin, I knew what was happening there.
Right.
So I decided to go and give my supervisor, you know, my assistance. I thought it was going to be answering phones and, you know, opening letters. You know, that office receives so many constituent-based issues coming into the office, people who need everything from housing to a job to, you know, help with police issues.
So Chris has you in the trenches. In the hood.
You know,
that's where I met you.
Let me tell you, for the last year and a half, I've been assisting his office just by, you know, dealing with constituent issues and whatever else I could help them out with. And it was still never enough work. I mean, each and every other district put together couldn't come close to the issues that got handled and taken care of from Supervisor Chris Daly's office.
Right.
And I just have to say that, you know, even being, you know, an African-American gay male who is HIV and HIV positive with AIDS, he treated me just like a person and, you know,
that's
allowed
nice.
Me to come into his office. This is his political office, you know, where he this, you know, where he does his thing, and to, you know, help him and help out the city of San Francisco. To me, that just showed just the greatest amount of. God, what, I can't even come up with a great word for it.
Tell me, what are the qualities and the vision that you see in Chris that still makes him the best supervisor for District 6?
He cares about everybody. I mean, it's not, you don't have to be just rich. You don't have to be dirt poor. You don't have to be somewhere in the middle. If you have a problem, he's going to try to help. I've seen some of the people who have written some very horrible things about him in the media, and I won't mention which, you know, media...
Oh, Pat Murphy. Come on, say Pat Murphy, the Sentinel.
I'm not mentioning anything, and I'm not,
I
you know, I'm not targeting any one person or any one organization
right.
or agency that might just be Salta Margaret.
Right.
but they come to Chris, and they've asked for his help, and he gives them that help.
Right.
Many of them still, you know, try to slap him around or stab him in the back. I may be wrong about that, but that's what I see.
Right.
And he still continues to help them out. People, you know, it's just, you know, if he can do it, he will do it. He meets someone on the street, call my office.
Right.
My office will help you out. So, you know, for me, helping out the people in the city and county of San Francisco, giving everything that you can, giving your all, shows a depth of character that
right.
I don't see in many other politicians, let alone very many people.
And that's not political demagogy. If you are long enough around Chris, you know that he's not faking it.
Yeah.
He
has a
passion for people, all people.
As a matter of fact, let me tell you, it takes me a long time to warm up to somebody or even give them my loyalty. And I watched Chris. I watched him day in and day out, you know, during the time that I've been there. He earned my respect, period. And even with that, he's asked me to be the campaign coordinator for this election, which, you know, has to say even more about the guy.
And I see that you also have earned his respect when I say, hey, Chris, you want to come up on the show? He pointed right to you and said, talk to the man.
Actually, when I'm, you know, when I talk to Chris and, you know, when we're, when, whatever, it's just, you know, he's just another guy, you know, he's got great ideas, he's got a vision, he's got a plan, you know, and that plan is just to help out the people of the city and county. And my job, you know, is to help him to get that plan, you know.
How is he getting over that huge disappointment about Prop A, who was short of 1% to pass? I understand Sharon Hewitt had wrote the original draft, but this is Chris Daly's baby, the $10 million towards violence prevention for the youth.
You know,
that fell during the last election.
Chris had mentioned that, you know, he was... It wasn't a disappointment. He was actually very proud that he was able to, you know, get the numbers that he had gotten. He only wished, and this is what he told me, he only wished that he had could have done a little bit more to just, you know, help educate, you know, some of the other people who didn't understand what the proposition was about, you know, people who really don't, whose lives aren't that affected by, you know, the homicides that happened. Of course, we got great numbers because we lost by...
Well, this is a health issue. It affects everybody.
Most certainly, it's also a mental health issue. I mean, it's, yes. And it's a societal issue. And these are things that, you know, someone who may live in another district, I'm not, I don't want to say what districts, you know, they just, you know, it's like, oh, there's been another killing in, you know, on, you know, over in District 5, or there's been another killing, you know, in District 6, or, you know, when is all this killing going to stop? Well, when are you going to get up and try to make a difference? Mm-hmm. I don't think, you know, putting money into, you know, some type of social problem or social organization like a bookmobile is going to help. You have to give that money back to the community so the community can say, you know what, this is, you know, we have the money now. Let's try to find some type of way to, you know, heal our community. What are the different types of ways to heal a community? They can decide. They, because they live there, they know what they need. Chris wanted to get that money and put that into the communities to help them to be able to help themselves. Okay? And for all of those people who were against the proposition, who felt that, you know, the money was going to be misspent, well, is it really you that's being affected? Not right now. And I hope never, but, you know, let's just hope that we get another chance to help out with ending the homicides that are happening here in San Francisco.
You're so worried that it can affect virtually any neighborhood, especially.
It can.
When it comes to police homicide.
It can, and it will get there.
When a 13-year-old boy with Down syndrome 7 years ago was killed by the police in a residential part of Petrolia for waving a water gun. It affects everybody. When the lover of Tim Szilard was working at the district attorney's office, when his black lover was AIDS and dementia, Jihad Akbar is being shot down on Castro. It affects everybody. Asa Sullivan is being murdered by the police a month ago in the Ingleside district right by State University, it does affect everybody.
Yet you have to remember again that those people who don't live in some of the districts that are closer to the downtown area, mm-hmm. or closer to perhaps, you know, the water, will only see these things on television or read them in the newspaper. They tend to forget that, you know, you're not really isolated. You're not, mm-hmm. living on an island. You know, at some time, this is actually going to come and it's going to affect you. And then at that time, you're going to be just incredulous. It's like, oh my God, how could this happen? Somebody needs to help me out. Well, you could actually do something preemptive. You can actually be proactive. You can actually have done something by helping to have gotten Proposition A passed.
Are you guys going to that follow-up on the scandal of Badlands this afternoon, I understand? Why don't you both of you can tell us a little bit about Badlands?
Well, no, I mean, I don't know.
Racial profiling?
No,
racial,
I don't really know that much about it. I have to say, I haven't followed it.
There are a lot of things that I
would
like to say.
Badlands is in the cash book, right?
There's a lot of things that I would like to say regarding what's happening at Badlands and what had happened to Badlands. And I probably
they basically discriminate against black people, correct? At least that was the nature of the petition and the boycott.
That's what I, you know, when what I read is that's what they feel that was happening
right.
there.
Right.
I have my own
perspective.
Exactly. I have my own perspective regarding the issues that are happening there. And, you know, it's not too dissimilar, but, you know, again, I happen to think it's more of a societal thing generally. You know, maybe some people just don't understand what other people are about. You know, it's
are
maybe
we talking
about
more of a class issue.
I'm thinking it is. I
or a combination of race
I think
and
it's.
Class.
I think it's more of a combination of race and class, and generally, perhaps some people have not taken the time, nor taken any type of effort to get to know someone else in a different fashion. They may be a wee bit too involved in their own life at that time to actually sort of step out of themselves and say, hey, you know what? I really don't know much about, you know, this guy sitting over here or what's happening over there. Or maybe they're just like, you know, I'm not really interested because I only like, well, this certain type of person. And it's very sad because you're missing out on some of the most wonderful people that you could ever
True.
Come to find.
True. Terry. As our next supervisor for District 8, mm-hmm. how would you deal with the delicate, intricate issues of race and class in that district?
Well, that's a good question. This is about racism in the gay male community. And
well, if we look at Bay Area career women, which is mostly white lesbians, shall I say more?
Well, Bay Area career women isn't just in District 8.
No, it's not.
It's not. That's not a project of District 8. I mean, Badlands is in District 8.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I mean, because an organization is mostly white, does not necessarily follow that they are racist and don't want people of color there. I mean, that's
true.
I mean,
theoretically. Okay.
No, in reality. I mean, the truth is a lot of times people of color are very reluctant to join organizations that are mostly white. That also happens. Let's
right.
face it.
Right.
You know? It's very different. Badlands is a place of business. I haven't followed it that much. So I would have to, really look into it. Certainly it is important that, it was followed up in somewhat of a serious way. There was an investigation, right? Was it a serious investigation?
Actually,
did you feel?
Yes, it was. There was an investigation, yet, and this was done by the Human Rights Commission. I felt that they did the very best that they could. Yet, again, the owner of Badlands, not Badlands, but the owner of the Pendulum, also the issues that were happening over at Badlands, you know, sort of, well, they were both across the street.
Yeah, I heard some words as jungle bunnies that were thrown around at Pendulum. That's not acceptable.
I was never there. Whenever I was in there, it never happened to me.
Good.
But even with that being said, I just don't know how to really address the issues that I see that are happening in the Castro, especially with, you know, gays and lesbians. You know, we all came here to San Francisco to find ourselves. We came here because, you know, we were either ostracized by our families, by friends, we were beaten up because we were gay.
James,
where do you come from? Oakland, California.
Oh, well.
All right. I'm right across the bay. You know, And we came to San Francisco to find ourselves and to be exactly who we wanted to be.
Right.
And generally what I find is once you get here and you fall into, you know, whatever type of life you really want to live, you actually have unpacked your bags that you brought from home and, you know, taken everything out, and then you want to change everything to be just like it was that you had at home. Well, you know what? The guy that's across the street, you know, you're sitting in Badlands, and that guy across the street over the pendulum, you know, you both came here for the same reasons, you know, and you shouldn't really be fighting each other. You should have actually been trying to work together to, you know, promote, you know, gays and lesbians as, you know, just people, because that's all you are, just people.
Did you see the movie of Marlon Riggs? Which one was it? Was it Brother to Brother?
Tongues Untied.
Tongues Untied.
The first one
That's
was Tongues Untied. Yeah.
That was about the double whammy of homophobia and blackness. Mm-hmm. Did you see it, Terry?
Oh, it's an incredible movie. Yeah, it's amazing, amazing movie.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't have to see it. I lived it.
Wow. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, but you should see it. It's an amazing work of art. It really is.
That's nice. And I'm honestly, I'm sure it is. Yet, I'm out there actually trying to make something happen.
Right.
I'm trying to actually do something. And it, you know, I'm not putting the movie down. Please don't get that impression. It probably is a great piece of work. The thing that I find most important right now for me is to give back whatever I can for as long as I can. So, you know, I pretty much denied myself a lot to make sure that people understand that, you know, being black, being gay, being full-blown AIDS, you can still get out there and you can still make a difference. You know, I'm thanking the city and county of San Francisco with every breath that I can for, you know, helping me out. And I see that we're in a lot of trouble. And to get out of that trouble, you know, I really believe that we need 4 more years of daylay.
Mm. Well said. It's so good to hear something good about the city and county of San Francisco. In other words, that you did, in fact, get some important services that
under the administration that
life.
Under the administration that we're in now, I see it just falling apart, seriously falling apart.
Terry, how long have you been in the Bay Area?
I've been in the Bay Area since 1974, and I've lived at my house in
So you came after the Flower Children.
Yeah, I was the feminist wave, yes. Yeah. No, I was not a flower child, actually.
Yeah, I came in 75.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember walking down. I did live here early on, 67 or something like that, and I remember walking down Haight Street, and apparently my pupils are more dilated than normal, and this guy coming up to me and saying, "Oh, man, that's incredible.
That's some good shit."
Yeah, right. Just how my eyes are. You know? But he was sure I had some kind of cosmic vision.
And you have lived in the castle for how long?
Since 1977.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So what is it, you know, the same questions that I was asking James about what he sees in daily, what are the qualities and the vision that you see in you that will make a difference in the castle, in District 8?
Well, boy, it's good you're asking me this stuff, because I just decided to run for office, and I am not up on all the issues.
Okay.
So this is forcing me to figure things out. I have to say, I think politically, District 8 is very different from District 6. I mean, most of the people in District 8, and District 8 gets richer every day, you know. I mean, it's every person who moves in is richer than the one who left, basically. It's a very nice place to live in many ways. I think that the big problem that should have been solved by Bevin Dufty and was only made worse by Bevin Dufty is the issue of Real Foods store on 24th Street.
On
24th, which has been closed now for almost 2 years.
Right.
As a result of, it was bought by a corporation, Nutraceutical, and then there was a labor dispute, and the people who worked there tried to unionize, and Nutraceutical closed the store, and they have been totally unwilling to negotiate, and basically the community, bless their hearts, was extremely supportive of the workers. It was really an alliance of the community and the workers, but unfortunately I think Bevan was not a good negotiator. I say this because I went to a community meeting early on where he talked about going to a negotiation session with the nutraceutical executives, and he bragged to all of us in the community that he had insulted one of the executives by saying that he had heard that he just got his job by marrying the boss's daughter.
And
at the time I thought, not the greatest negotiation tactic. 2 years later, Nutraceutical won't talk to him.
But he will always say, yes, but my godmother was Billie Holiday.
And I feel... And there was an article about it some months ago in the Chronicle, and Bevan said, well, I'm just giving up. I'm fed up with them. Well,
wow.
If you are the supervisor and you have a problem like that, you don't have any right to give up.
Right.
You have to keep going, keep working on it, keep trying different ways to figure out how you are going to resolve this conflict, because this is the corporation screwing the community and the workers. And it's really important for the political leader to never give up on that issue. And Dufty screwed it up in his negotiating, and now he has given up. And I feel that I would never give up about this. If I were elected supervisor, and I do feel in my campaign for Congress, which was so very difficult because I wasn't even on the ballot, I have shown an ability to persevere. I mean, people might not know a lot about me, but they can.
Boundless energy.
I can say that, I wouldn't say boundless energy, but once I decide to do something.
Girlfriend, I've seen you on stage.
Oh,
okay.
Well, that's different. Performing, of course. You get the energy from the audience. But, I would not give up on this problem. I would keep working on it. I feel we have to try to get national coverage of it. I mean, it's a great story. It's the people and the workers, the community and the workers against the evil corporation. It's very obvious. In fact, the workers won a judgment from the National Labor Relations Board. You know how hard it is to get a judgment under the Bush administration that is for the workers? But they won it, but nothing is happening. So that is one of the main things I would be focused on.
And oftentimes there's a victory and we all go like, we can rest now. When this is the time where we have to take more momentum and gain more ground.
Right. And I think I also want to talk to the people of District 8 about the issues of the poorer people in the city. And I really feel that if San Francisco has a soul, it's got to be about everyone in the city having a commitment to everyone else in the city. Why is it that we're all ready to go and march for, you know, the poor people in Iraq, but we're willing to let the poor people in Bayview Hunters Point be driven out of their
homes? They're homeless.
If we have souls, if we are people of integrity, to me, San Francisco is a utopian place, and it is for you too. That's why you came here, because we felt right. It was a place we could be ourselves. Okay, let's put up or shut up. It's not just about showing up at an anti-war demonstration. You know, it all has to begin at home, and there is, as always, a very powerful current of racism in the ability of people who are white to somehow just endure the sufferings of people of color. And the reason that I'm not in that position was because when I ran for Congress, that was when I got involved in Bayview Hunters Point.
That's right.
And the reason is because It's ironic because I wasn't on the ballot. I was such a total long shot. Nobody really was interested in me except the people in Bayview Hunters Point who are so ignored by the politicians, yes, unless it's a photo op, that they are actually grateful for somebody to come and listen to them and speak for them. And so I got to know the activists there who I'm just so impressed by. I'm just in awe of. Yeah, I mean, you talk about my energy, but I mean, the perseverance of you and the other activists in Bayview Hunters Point is just awe-inspiring. And well, I want to share that.
Each other.
What?
Excuse me, I just have to jump in. You finally convinced me by getting me on something that really needs to be talked about, and that's the white government. That is, you know, you look at my face and it's white, but underneath it ain't, you know, the opposite of a Tio Taco. But the problem is, you know, they're declaring perfectly good houses. What do they use? They're getting eminent domain by saying the place is trashed. I mean, you know what? I can't remember what
actually,
the phrase is.
The city can force you to sell at the minimal market value.
Right, and so they're going to use them
in
the domain.
And if you refuse to sell, then they can confiscate altogether. So
right.
People are selling like crazy.
And the same thing, by the way, you know, we've got downtown coming out to the Mission at the same time, and they are going to convert Valencia Street into another one of their stupid, you know, walkie things from New York.
Oh, well.
I mean,
what's
going
to happen to my Lesbo Street?
It's a beautiful street.
No longer no Lesbo Street.
Come on.
Where is Amelia's?
The
neighborhood.
Lesbians can't keep anything together.
Everybody's mixed out there.